Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer, and if I'd spent last night listening to this, it's possible that I also spent a lot of time abstaining from alcohol and doing volunteer work. If, on the other hand, I'd been listening to this all last night, it's likely that I would have been spending time with one of my multiple sex partners. No comment. That's the conclusion, anyway, of a new study by a team of British psychologists who looked into the relationship between musical preferences and other lifestyle choices. Joining me on the phone from the University of Leicester is Dr. Adrian North, professor of psychology who headed up the study. Adrian, welcome back to Soundcheck. Adrian, are you with us? All right. Well, let's take a look at some of the correlations that the gang there at the University of Leicester found. Fans of musicals have the lowest levels of drug-taking activity and criminal activity, drink less regularly, and are most likely to do charity work. Hip-hop and dance music fans, on the other hand, are the most likely to have multiple sex partners and are among the biggest drug users. Blues and opera fans, well, nothing more serious than driving violations. So, how were these conclusions reached? Let's see if we can reach Adrian North. Adrian, are you with us?
I am. Hello. How are you?
Good. Well, it seems like every time you've joined us on Soundcheck, it's been with some other really bizarre application of the field of psychology.
Welcome to Dr. North's world of the strange once again, yes.
All right, so musical fans seem to be, you know, very vanilla-flavored, you know, goody-two-shoes in this study, and hip-hop fans, you know, they're out there getting jiggy with it. Does this reinforce stereotypes? Is there a relationship to ethnic backgrounds? How much does economics play into this?
Wow, there are several questions in there. First of all, let's deal with the ethnic background one. We actually controlled for that in all the analyses, so we know it's nothing to do with that. So we can deal with that one fairly easily. As regards kind of exactly what's causing this, I think it's better to think of it. Take the example of, say, someone who left school at, say, 16, which is the youngest age you can legally leave school in Britain. Now, if you do that, that means, you know, you're not going to be particularly well-educated, which in turn leads you into certain types of jobs. That in turn leads you into certain types of media interests. You know, it affects the advertising you're exposed to, the radio stations you listen to, and so on. And perhaps because of that, that in turn affects the music that you listen to, which, and of course, that music itself provides you with certain messages about, you know, how you should live your life and so on, which in turn starts to feed back into your lifestyle. So I think it's really just a case of, you know, saying that everything's related to everything else. As to whether or not this is particularly strange or not, I actually don't think it is. Of course, on the surface, it sounds absolutely weird and, you know, as crazy as anything. But it wouldn't be at all contentious to say that just because, you know, well, to say that if somebody who buys a certain newspaper, they've probably got a certain political opinion. And I don't think this is particularly, you know, far removed from that. All we're saying here is that one type of lifestyle choice is linked to a whole range of other, you know, lifestyle choices. So it's perhaps not as weird and way out as you might think.
Mm-hmm. And you're not sort of saying that the music that you like causes this sort of behavior.
No way, absolutely not. No, we weren't even attempting to look at causality in this. It's like I said, I really think it is just a case of, you know, everything affecting everything else. You know, the newspapers you read are probably affecting the TV stations that you watch, the TV stations you watch. Like I said, affect the advertising you're exposed to. That affects the music you listen to. That in turn affects, you know, perhaps some of your political and moral values, which in turn affects the newspaper you read, which in turn affects the TV station you watch, and round we go.
So it makes sense then that your musical preferences are simply one of many lifestyle choices that all of us make, and we make them according to a certain set of internal parameters and as you say, level of schooling, your economic status, all of that. How did you? What was the methodology involved here? What kind of questions did you ask the participants?
Sure, it was very, very simple because I had some undergraduate students helping me, thankfully. And over the course, I think it took us about 6 months or so. We managed to recruit 2,500 people, all within the UK. And we got them to complete just a very, very simple questionnaire. First of all, they were asked to pick from, I think it was 35 different musical styles and just say, this one's my favorite. And then after that, they just had to complete a questionnaire that was, you know, just all about their life. So kind of who they lived with, what type of housing they lived with, what their political moral beliefs were, how often they go on holiday, how they handle their personal finances. For example, what proportion of their credit card bill do they pay off every month, their education, their employment, how often they visit their doctor, and a whole range of other health behaviors like drinking, smoking, and so on, their media preferences, and also just what they did in their leisure time. Mm-hmm. So we really just tried to get a picture of it's almost as if we'd followed them around for a year. That was the goal that we had in mind.
Well, we're speaking with Dr. Adrian North, professor of psychology at the University of Leicester, about a study which was recently published in the scientific journal Psychology of Music that suggests a very close relationship between musical preferences and other lifestyle choices. You mentioned following these people as if you were following them around for a year. Mm. If you were able to follow these people around for 25 years, I mean, we've seen the phenomenon of people's musical preferences changing as they age.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously economic status will usually change as you age as well.
Yeah.
Is there any way to sort of correlate, to extrapolate from what you already know to think about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Of course, you know, the precise pieces of music you listen to almost week to week will change. But that's not to say that musical preferences go through this wholesale change as you go through the lifespan. No, of course, individual pieces of music and even certain musical styles come and go into, you know, any one individual's listening repertoire. But it's important to remember that, you know, and certainly the stacks of research that shows this as well, not just in the UK but also in the USA, which shows that people's musical preferences more or less crystallize around about between about 16 and 24 years of age. And although, you know, individual pieces, individual, you know, musicians come and, you know, enter and leave that repertoire, the basic core repertoire that you listen to really pretty well sticks with you through life. And I say that seems to be the case, even though, you know, of course, like you say, people move, you know, into different social groupings as they go through life. You know, the core music you listen to tends not to change that much.
Hmm. Although we do have what we call aspirational listening
in
the world of classical music, where it's deemed kind of a thing to do when you reach a certain economic status, I suppose.
Sure, absolutely. But I mean, again, even in cases like this aspirational listening, sure, some of it happens in private, but the great majority of that, I suspect, probably occurs, you know, in public, round the table at dinner parties and that kind of thing. You know, look at this wonderful CD I've just put on. Aren't I, you know, sophisticated, stroke intelligent, stroke fashionable,
right,
or whatever else.
Yeah. Right. Dr. Adrian North is with us on Soundcheck, as he has been in the past. I think the last time we spoke, you had done something about iPod apathy, about how people in their kind of little pod spaces are actually a little more apathetic about music. The field of psychology of music seems to be an absolutely fascinating one, which can produce some surprising results. And one of the results from this latest study is that classical music fans, do I have this right? Classical music fans are as likely to have used psychotropic mushrooms as dance music fans.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, certainly when you look across the board, dance music fans have tried a wider range of drugs. So if you give people a great big long list of drugs and say, tick the ones that you've tried, that's when you find that dance music fans have taken this wider range of drugs. And I should say, incidentally, we had kind of a lie detector drug in there. We inserted one that we completely made up called Narium, just to check for anyone who was, you know, trying to pretend that they'd taken the lot. And, you know, so we dealt with that. But certainly when you look at individual drugs, yeah, that's when these supposed differences between kind of, say, dance music fans and, you know, certainly in the UK, at least, writing kind of pillars of the community, classical music and opera fans, they start to disappear. We found, for example, that 12.3% of our opera fans had tried magic mushrooms. A quarter of our classical music fans had tried cannabis. you know, this certainly is not consistent with the rather kind of staid and uptight image that a lot of these fans stereotypically have.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, what's the application, the potential application? I mean, to what end are you doing this sort of testing?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of, as with most of this kind of research, there's always kind of two goals, an academic one and a practical one. The academic one, it really actually follows on from the kind of iPod research that we spoke about last time, the whole idea about how does music fit into your daily life and, you know, just what kind of roles does it play, and no matter how mundane they may be. On a more kind of practical level, although it certainly isn't, you know, the goal behind us doing the research, but, you know, we've been thinking about it over the last few days, and it seems to be fairly obvious that this kind of work must have some sort of application, for example, to advertisers. You know, if you know you want to reach a particular type of audience with a particular set of leisure interests, this kind of research at least tells you what music you perhaps ought to be putting in your advertising.
Right.
And similarly, I suspect it's probably of some use to people that supply pipe music. You know, if you've got a certain demographic or a certain group of customers coming in, or a group that you want to attract, then this kind of research, at least theoretically at least, you know, allows you to kind of read off what kind of music you should be playing them.
Right, and of course there has been a fair amount of research done on what kind of music can be piped into various stores.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's a different story in its own right, but yeah absolutely.
All right, so we had a little fun at the beginning of the segment, you know, saying that if I'd been listening to this show tune, I might have been, you know, spending time last night doing volunteer work. If I'd been listening to techno, I might have been with one of my multiple sex partners. The fact is, I spent last night listening to this new record by the band Yola Tengo, this, you know, great indie rock band from New Jersey, who we'll be dealing with in just a moment. What kind of lifestyle choice would you then predict for me as a fan of this sort of music?
Oh, goodness gracious me. Right. Okay, indie rock thing. Oh, okay, that means you're probably reasonably well educated. They tend to have a high proportion of PhDs and degrees. Slightly above average income, but nothing too special, unfortunately, I'm afraid. You know, you're not going to be absolutely, you know, I'm sure you don't come into work in a helicopter. Goodness me, what else? You're going to have fairly liberal views, definitely. So that's certainly kind of in terms of who you vote for. I mean, in your case, you're probably more likely to vote Democrat than Republican, I'd guess.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, and you probably quite like the other arts as well, as a general rule. You won't have a pet. That's very unlikely that you'll have a pet. You probably don't smoke either.
Wow, that's, well, with the exception of the pet thing, which was done against my wishes, that all seems pretty much on the mark.
Hey, fantastic.
All right, well, now there is a musical taste test that you have devised, which we have posted on, linked to our website.
Oh,
so
great.
Folks who want to see the full musical taste test, it doesn't ask you your sort of criminal history or anything it's fun to do on its own. Go to our website, the soundcheck page at wnyc.org. The full findings are published in the scientific journal Psychology of Music, and we've been speaking once again with Dr. Adrian North, professor of psychology at the University of Leicester in England. Adrian, another fascinating topic. Thank you for joining us on Soundcheck again.
Pleasure. Thanks very much.
And coming up, we'll hear from the aforementioned Yola Tengo, specifically guitarist Ira Kaplan. They are one of the most durable bands out there in more ways than one. And later, a live performance by old-timey banjo player Riley Baugus. All of that coming up on Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.